Hello, my lovely edge dwellers. Luca Halix here, Power Sorcerer. Welcome to my She Who Knows blog pod post for March the 8th, 2023. This is part of an ongoing series of intergalactic channeled messages from my guides. And if you're listening to this, from yours as well. I started this process in 2019, and it is... It stretched out over a couple of years, and I am going back to them to pull out the passages that I think are really salient for what we're going through at the moment. So this particular one was channeled on March the 11th, 2020, and it is session 9 of the ongoing series. So let me get it started for you. There is Jennifer Ann Ellis was... facilitating the process of guiding me, asking questions as I was in an altered state. And so you'll notice that she asks periodic questions or does little summaries throughout the course of what I'm going to relate to you. And I will identify those as Jennifer. And then I will go back to what I'm saying as Luca. So you'll hear that as we go through. So we start with me. I'm in an airport that looks like Vancouver. There are all kinds of vertical beams of light dotted all over the place. People are walking around in their own beams, not noticing me. They're all walking in their own personal spotlight. I think my beam is my beam and their beam is their beam. And I sense that they're all together, connected, but not everyone in the airport walks in a beam. I'm noticing the ones that are. Airports are almost like motherships, except that they're stationary and they all sit on energy centers. The airports were built on energy centers, as energy portals, if you like. I've had this information before, but they're showing it to me again. I think this energy is why I like being in airports. Some airports have been energetically polluted, like some cities are polluted, but Vancouver Airport is pretty clean. When I travel, where I go, my beam goes with me. Airports are built on Earth energy centers. When I go into an airport, it's almost like attending a conference, except that we're not sitting down talking to each other. You could say it's an energetic confluence. Spaceships are portable energy centers, and humans are portable energy centers, but smaller. They're showing me, us, this so that I can always go back to the airport if I want an energy hit. An airport is like a crack den of energy centers. They're saying the placement of airports is deliberate. Airports have been deliberately placed on energy centers. When I was a teen, they built a new international airport in Montreal for the 1976 Olympic Games, and it didn't really work, at least not positively. The old airport in Dorval, which is an outlying area of metropolitan Montreal, was sitting on an energy center, a quite powerful one, that extended out to include a bus station, a train station, and an interchange of highways. The political party in power at that time built a replacement airport, ostensibly for the international passenger and air cargo traffic. My guides are showing me that they tried to create an energy center, but it wasn't being done at the highest level of integrity. It was being done mostly out of greed. That airport is now a giant white elephant. Everything moved back to the original airport where they made improvements to accommodate the extra traffic. So, Jennifer says, so somebody had an awareness to build on an energy center? Luca, yes. They didn't know how to do it, though, with integrity. They weren't coming from the highest good for all concerned. I can feel the difference between airports, which ones are aligned and are on energy portals and which are not. Airports are alive. They have a heartbeat. It's like they have energetic health and also dis-ease. When I was in San Francisco in about 2003, the San Francisco International Airport was out of alignment. Jennifer, so there are people who tend to this airport health? Luca, There are people who attend to the energetic health of everything. Jennifer, and are these people incarnate? Luca, some of them are, yes. Jennifer, there must be a need sometimes for things in the energy centers to go in and out of balance, like the energy at the San Francisco airport. Luca, in the grand plan of whatever its life cycle, it is for choice in its experience. San Francisco's airport was not a bad place, but it was out of alignment. Jennifer, before we had airports, as a race, we must have done something with these energetic centers too. Luca, ports and sacred sites, they're all on energy centers. Airports are just the modern version. If you think about how much money we put into them, we build stadiums and we build conference centers and we build airports. We're not building cathedrals the way we used to. Jennifer, if I say somebody is building a sacred site or a port, there's an inherent knowing of somebody having a conscious awareness of energy. If someone is just building an airport, it's usually for a business or economic reason. Luca, yes, that's the reason they built Mirabel Airport in Montreal. However, they weren't aligned. They didn't have the best interests of all concerned at heart. The location was arbitrary. It didn't come about in a natural alignment with energy. Jennifer, I wonder how often airports are actually even built these days. It's a massive undertaking. Luca, a big one. In relatively recent history, was in Hong Kong. They built a major international airport on a man-made island in the harbor to get it where they wanted it. They are showing me how they build such huge projects. There are movers and shakers behind the planning of the project, and then there's an army of people that build it, just like there was an army of people that built the cathedrals of yore. They're saying we need to review and appreciate what our sacred structures are, where they are and what they do. Air travel is considered to be sacred right now, and moving people and goods from one place to another is sacred in a way, in that we're willing to allocate huge amounts of resources and international collaboration to them. We've always done that with ports. This is just the new form of a port. So they're showing them to me dotted all around the planet. My guides are taking the energy around airports and they're flinging it around the planet and the universe. I'm seeing the airports as glowing beacons on the planet. With this latest virus, there's a temporary ebb in airport traffic. It's like a little rest, a little pause. It's not turned off altogether, but it's pausing. This energy flinging, in quotations, flinging, happens all the time. The airports are portals, so they're converting energy, they're moving energy, not just from one city to another, but from off the planet to on the planet, to in the planet. Jennifer, its own highway. Luca, it's a superhighway of connectivity for intergalactic energy. These portals, or airports, are dynamic. It's like they breathe. But the planet is having to pause and slightly reorient right now. No, not slightly. There's a major reorientation going on. That also speaks to when all of our services are going to be needed during and after this reorientation process. Jennifer, a major reorientation. What are some of the things that will manifest from that? Luca, we are manifesting on a conscious level what we choose to manifest and what we choose not to no longer manifest, like fear. Luca has a purpose. She knows she has a purpose. She brings this with her to participate in tweaking the grid as and when necessary. And she herself is a vehicle for the energy. The vehicle goes through periodic adjustments and she's going through an adjustment. It's not being done to her as much as it's being done through her. And therefore, there is not anything to be done other than allowing and continuing the flow. And she has help for this. Jennifer, she has a support network. Luca, yes, you are all experiencing a combination of a pause and a reorientation, which would seem to you to be a contradiction in terms. You would not think that a pause would be busy or that a reorientation could be restful. But this is the paradox of this particular shift. You hold the belief system that says that pausing is not doing, and it's therefore not valuable, and therefore is something to be avoided or scheduled as quote-unquote temporary. There is a small pause between your in-breath and your out-breath, so you are engaged in pausing all the time. But when you are in the pause, if you don't remember the grand scheme or purpose of your intention, it would feel as if nothing were happening. In fact, quote-unquote, nothing is happening, but it's but a nanosecond of the totality. Jennifer, which is what they teach in the yoga breath. Luca, so the reorientation process is a form of not doing doing or doing not doing. It is doing while not doing and is essential to the efficacy of the recalibration of anything, including your planet. Jennifer, so is this huge coronavirus part of this? Luca, yes. You will not be comfortable with this paradox until you remember that you are what you are really doing, or really being, or really participating in. Airplanes constantly come and go from an airport, but the airport is not only about the planes that come and go. Likewise, you're not only about the things you do. What you do is like your airplanes. Then there's the part of you that participates in pauses and planning and regeneration, and that is all as important as the flights that go in and out. Otherwise, you would not be prepared for those flights to safely go where they go or do what they do or carry what they carry. Everything is a hologram. So if you're focused in the details of the parts and you're having difficulty understanding, move to the whole or the higher perspective. If you're in the whole or higher perspective and you don't understand, then move to the parts. One always informs the other. They are just vantage points. Everything is a metaphor. When you drive on your roads, you first learn the rules of the road. You practice. You get a license, which is a form of agreement that you will abide by the rules of the road. You then get behind the wheel of the vehicle and you trust that everyone is doing the same thing. Without that trust, you would never get in a vehicle. Pilots who fly planes must do this with one additional dimension, up and down. When humankind goes into space, you do it with even more dimensions and even more technology, but it also requires even more trust. When you live your life in an Earth suit, you do the same. You learn the rules of the planet, the rules of physical incarnation. You are born, which means you agree to play by the rules of the planet, and then you have to trust. Jennifer, some people are able to trust more easily than others. Luca, it's not blind trust, it's trust of an underlying tension and purpose, in the same way as driving a car is. But we sometimes forget that we are trusting. Metaphorically, it's important to reorient to the reason we have vehicles in the first place, to the reason we got a license in the first place. Jennifer, so we're talking about purpose and intent again. Luca, yes, individual and collective, because the driver on the road is an individual participating in a collective system with dynamic rules and requirements and safety measures and maintenance. You cannot drive on unmaintained roads without ruining your vehicle. Periods of maintenance disrupt the ebb and flow, or you could say contribute to the ebb of the flow. But there is a period of growth that comes with each period of reorientation. When you rebuild, reconstruct, or reconfigure, you're building in or learning from your experience. You're breathing life into your hopes for how the reorientation, reconfiguration, and maintenance will improve the system overall. This is what you call growth. So the piece with which you and Luca are both grappling at the moment is trust. You do far more that works than does not work. And that which does not work is part of the reconstructing, reconfiguration, and maintenance. Jennifer, when you say do far more, is that how we engage in our world? Luca, it's when you're in your metaphorical energetic beam of light. It's when you're being authentic. That is when you are doing what you came here to do. Jennifer, is there advice or information about how we can best grapple with or learn more from trust? Luca, recollect the system of which you are a part. Remember your purpose for participating in this system. You must want to stay within it or you would have left already. So if you wish to stay within it, ask yourself why you're staying. It is a moment-by-moment choice. If anyone tried to take it away from you, you would fight for it. What are you fighting for? Why would you get so indignant if someone tried to take it away from you, tried to take away who you are and what you do? Jennifer, the connection and association, it's part of a belief, too. Luca, your beliefs create the blueprint within which you create the structure of your life. You construct things differently when you're putting up a temporary shelter than when you're putting up something you expect to last thousands of years. There's a new team configuring now. These are new players who bring in another perspective. They speak through one voice. Luca is entering a period of great import in this lifespan. It requires her eldership, which is why this comes at a later point in her lifespan. There is a great aspect here of guidance, as you would say, sitting on an advisory board to guide development. This is a natural function of what she does off the planet Earth, as you see it. When she is not doing this, her life is for the enjoyment of the relationships that she builds as she goes about the work. This is the oil that lubricates the machinery. Relationships and trust and credibility are crucial to what she does on this planet at this time, and she is doing it through time and space, through several dimensions, if you will, so that she is functioning on several different levels at the same time, as you would refer to time. It is hard for one level of her to remember that there are other levels of her, all working across time and space. This is a very complex and sensitive function for which she is well qualified. It will not come with title or compensation as you would see it in your world of work, but resources and energy will flow because she is flowing. This concept applies to many of you on the planet at this time, although no one person's responsibility is exactly the same as anyone else's, because you all walk within your own beam of light. Comparing one to another, one entity, one individual to another, is only useful insofar as you are understanding or extrapolating greater systems and patterns to reassure yourselves. Other than this, comparison is not useful. Remember that the animal realms, the insect realms, the bird realms, the micro realms are as intelligent, are as important as the human realms on this planet, and all participate with you. There are interfaces, as you would term them, between all forms of life on this planet and indeed in your galaxy. There is more than your galaxy, but it is hard for your consciousness to stretch far enough to understand this, even if we could explain it to you in human terms. Once you are in space and you understand it as at a higher level, you will never again feel any fear of emptiness or lack or absence or desertion, because nothing is ever truly alone. Being free truly means to be able to move freely between perspectives, appreciating them all in their individuality and their wholeness as a system, to know their place and function and to stay free of the constrictions of fear and worry. Fear creates lack, or what is perceived of as lack, which creates fear once again. You always know when you are participating in fear because it is a closed system. A closed loop that hangs your life force, as you would say in computer language. The way to get out of that loop is to break the perception of emptiness or lack. That means stepping into love, oneness, joy. The things that you already know make you feel good. Voila, the antidote. Shortly, the Earth will send up a cheer of discovery. It will find itself throwing off the shackles of fear and embracing collaboration, unity, and sharing. It truly does make everyone feel better. This will be the impetus for political change. You cannot change a system of fear by using the fear tactics present in the system of fear. You must step outside the system into a different way of being and engage there so that the other system no longer has energy to feed it. If you don't live in a neighborhood, it falls into disrepair and eventually rots back into nature. You find it beautiful to go and look at old ruins, but at some level, those were societies that no longer worked. They are the remnants. Banking edifices are already becoming remnants of an old system that no longer requires a building to hold money. They are already defunct. You have been scared into believing that you need to borrow ones and zeros from an institution. In fact, they are only ones and zeros in a computer. They are coming to have outlived their meaning. When the computer crashes, you still have the house, the car, the knowledge from education. Outmoded systems are hollow once they are seen as such. Essentially, everything comes back to energy. Always. Energy is consciousness, and consciousness is love. You associate love with the heart, but it is so much bigger than this. Blessings. We will leave now.